Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn to the top of Daf Yud Dalid, where you see a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us take advantage of one of the features of our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, the Shas that appears on your screen. You'll notice the word Nosei in the margin. We offer Nosei and Mivneh. These are headings for topics. Nosei, referring to a topic, a concise introduction to the Gemara that will be learned, and from time to time when markings appear that need explanation, we feature that with a heading called Mivneh, a structural note. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we have written Halochos Hanoigois. These are laws that pertain lebehemas kodesh bal mum, to an animal that has been sanctified and happens to be blemished. Now, there are two major scenarios. One is kidam mum kavua lehekdeshon, namely, prior to its sanctification, the animal was already with a fixed blemish, a blemish that is not transient. The second major category is kidam hekdeshon lemum, where the animal was sanctified before it had been blemished and only later became blemished. There's another situation that the Mishnah makes reference to, and that would be a transitory mum, a mum over kidam lehekdeshon, was there prior to its sanctification. However, a mum over, as Rashi says in this context, is as if it's not there. So it too comes under the category of something whose sanctification preceded the appearance of the mum. Now, these two categories are treated very differently in the halacha, as the Mishnah reflects. So now we turn to the Mishnah. Category 1, kol hakoshim shekidam mum kavua lehekdeshon, all those animals that are sanctified, but a blemish had been present at the time that you sanctified it. Rashi explains that, well, as is well known, an animal that is blemished cannot be brought to the altar as a sacrifice. So why would someone makdish, why would someone sanctify an animal with a blemish? So Rashi explains that the sanctification was with the purpose of selling the animal and using the money to buy sacrifices for the Mizbeach. So given an animal like that, where the mum, the blemish, preceded its sanctification, v'nifdu, and then it was redeemed, chayovin b'vechora uv'matonos. The redeemed animal now is viewed as a chulin animal, as a mundane creature, and as a result, as it being now called or viewed as a common creature, a chulin animal, it, if it bears now a first male offspring, it will be chayav b'vechora. You'll have to treat that as a bechor, give it to a kohen who will bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a sacrifice. Matonos are the tithes that are removed from a chulin animal that are presented to the kohen. They include the zra, the arm, the lochayim, the cheek, and the keva, the stomach, of kosher variety animals that are slaughtered. Of all chulin animals, matonos are given to a kohen. The yoitzin, the chulin ligzoiz ve'le'aved, and this animal, after it's redeemed, becomes fully common, and as a result of its chulin status, it can be shorn and worked with. Vlodon v'chaloven muter lachar pidyonan, the offspring and the milk is muter after redemption. Vashochton b'chutz poter. If one slaughters these animals even before they have been redeemed, So there is no violation of what's called Shechitas Chutz, the prohibition of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis Hamikdash. This never became a sacrifice with Kedushas Haguf, and as a result of it never having inherent sacrificial sanctity, there is no violation of Shechitas Chutz. The Ein Oisin Tmura, and if one were to attempt to replicate the Kedusha that's on this, and copy it onto another animal, it wouldn't take hold. That process of replicating Kedusha is called Tmura. That does take place. Let us say if you have a formal sacrifice and you said, I want a, and you stood next to this formal sacrifice, you stood up a chulin animal and you pointed out and said, I want this chulin animal to have the kedusha that this particular sacrifice has. So then that takes hold, and that animal that was previously chulin now has to be brought as a sacrifice. That's called tamura, but tamura does not take hold if you're trying to replicate this situation. The im mesu yifdu. And in the event that these animals die before you redeem them, so you can still redeem them. And that's a point of great controversy concerning the ability to redeem an animal that has died. That will be discussed later in the Gemara. Now, this halacha applies to all animals that were sanctified, who were preceded with a blemish, chutz min habechor umin ha-maiser, with the exception of a bechor that's born, let us say, with a mum, or a maiser behema, the tithing of the annual births where 1 out of 10 animals is set aside, where it may have been set aside initially as a balmum, as a blemished animal that is treated, though, with a certain level of sanctity that sets it apart from everything we mentioned above in the Mishnah. So with regard to a bechor, a firstborn, that's born with a mum, and a meiser behema, nevertheless, there is a high level of sanctity that sets upon them, and therefore the leniencies that we learned about till now don't apply to the Bechor and Meiser that were Baalei Mum. V'chol Shekidam Hegdeshan Esmuma. Now we come to the second section of the Mishnah. All those animals that were sanctified prior to the appearance of a Mum, O Mum Over Lehegdeshan, or they happen to have a transitory Mum prior to their being sanctified. Ulachar mikan nolad bohen mun kavua. And regarding these animals with the mum over, after they were sanctified, then there developed a permanent mum, permanent blemish. Venifdu, and then they were redeemed. So now you have what's called psule hamugdoshim. These are animals that were formerly a real sacrifice, a legitimate altar destined sacrifice. Once the mum develops, that now enables me to redeem them. So, upon redeeming them, pturin min habechorim min hamatonas, they are nevertheless, even though they have been redeemed, they are exempt from bechora and matonas, and that is because they, even after redemption, they still have a level of sanctity that does not enable them to be categorized as standard chulin. The Einon Yoitzin L'chulin L'Gzizulavan. These Psulei HaMukdashim cannot be used even after they have been redeemed for shearing nor for work. Vlodon V'chalovon Osir. The offspring and the milk are forbidden. L'achar Pidyonon. Even after they have been redeemed. V'hashochdon B'chutz. If one were to shecht these animals before they have been redeemed outside the Beis Hamikdash, chayov, they will be guilty. Now Rashi says here, chayov kores. Rashi also explains that we're talking about a specific type of very minor mum that's called dukin shebayin, which if it were brought on the in the Beis Hamikdash itself. According to Rabbi Akiva, we say if it's brought onto the Mizbech, you don't take it off. But with regard to other types of mumin, then we wouldn't say Chayav Kores. But nevertheless, there is a situation of something that was that you sanctified and then later developed a mum that could result in a chiyuv, an avera, a sin of shchutei chutz, even with a koris penalty. And we go on in the Mishnah, the oisin tmura, these are capable of these cases of an animal that was a balmum, but it was sanctified before the mum appeared. It can be used or can create tmura, even though it should be pointed out that it's forbidden to do tmura, but if one does it, it will take hold. Ve'im mesu yikbaru, in the event that these animals die before you redeem them, you cannot redeem them anymore. And that's because for redemption of animals like this, of sacrifices, you need hamodav arocha. They have to stand up in order to be evaluated and redeemed. Now, this itself is a major Tanaic controversy, but as far as our Mishnah, it represents a specific school of thought that something that did not have kedushas mizbeach does not need hamodav arocha, doesn't need to be stood up and evaluated in order to redeem it, as was seen in the Reisha of the Mishnah. And the Seifa speaks about another case, speaks about things that did have kedushas mizbeach. They need ha'amodav arocha, based on the pasuk that speaks about them being stood up to and evaluated for redemption. And since they're dead, they cannot do this. So once again, to repeat, kedushas domim does not need ha'amodav arocha, and kedushas mizbeach does need ha'amodav arocha. The Gemara begins at this point, and before learning the Gemara, we glance at the side under our nosei, or topic heading, halachos hakshuros lebehema de yeshla kedushas domim lefnei pidyona. We're going to see points that apply to an animal that had a monetary sanctity prior to its redemption. When we say kedushas domim, this is in contrast with the concept of kedushas mizbeach or kedushas aguf, where something had inherent sanctity. Inherent sanctity means is a reference to something that would have been offered as a sacrifice itself on the mizbeach. Kedushas domim is a reference to those animals that have sanctity, but only to the extent that they would be sold and their money value, the money value, would be used for the purchase of other sacrifices. Now, the Gemara. The Gemara is focusing on the Reisha of the Mishnah. So we might as well review the first line of the Mishnah, which spoke about Kol HaKodshim Shekida Mum Kavua LeHekdeshan, and then it said Vinifdu, and then they are redeemed. So at the point they have been redeemed, if they now bear a firstborn, so it will be Chayav in Bechora. And if they now have been redeemed after their redemption, they would be Chayav in Matonis. Now, we can infer from this, Taima dinivdu, the reason that these obligations set in is because they were redeemed. Ha loy nivdu. Now, we've dashed, underlined this, because this same structure, Gemara, will repeat itself a few lines later. The inference is if they have not been redeemed, and we speak about they, we're talking about things that the mum was there before the kedusha. In other words, it has kedushas domim. If it wasn't redeemed, turin min habachora, Umina Matonis. There would have been an exemption from Bechora and Matonis. Kosovar, our Mishnah is of the opinion, Kedushas Domim, Madche Min HaBechora Umina Matonis. That even something that has mere Kedushas Domim, that exempts it from Bechora and from Matonis. Just like you would say in the case of something that had Kedushas Haguf. Continuing in the Gemara, we also saw that once it's redeemed, it says v'yoytzin l'chulin v'gazeiz v'le'aved. It becomes chulin even to the extent that you can shear it and work with it. Taimal d'niftu. Once again, we infer from the Mishnah that that the whole reason we should say we draw an inference from the Mishnah that says niftu, hal lo niftu. Now this is the inference: had it not been redeemed, asiri begiza vavoda, then we would say there would be a restriction on shearing and working with it. In other words, the whole allowance for shearing and working with it is a result of it having been redeemed. But prior to that, this animal that we have been describing as having not having Kedushas HaGuf would nevertheless be forbidden in shearing and working. Now, so the Gemara thinks to say that Misayalei the Rebbe Lozer. This would seem to support Rebbe Lozer, Diomar Kodshe Berek Habayis Asurin Begizov Avoda. He has a rule, and this is a reference to animals that have been dedicated to the Temple Repair Fund. That's another category of Kedusha. Well, we can certainly say our Baal Mumei Kara, the blemished animal that was initially blemished before the sanctification, is like Kedusha's Berek Habayis, insofar as, just like Kedusha's Berek Habayis represents a realm of things that are not altar destined, so too our animal here is not altar destined. Now, what does Rebbe Lozer say about animals that have that lower level of sanctity known as Kedushas Berek Habayis? He says that even though they have a mere Kedushas Berek Habayis status, they are forbidden to work with and to shear. So our Mishnah would seem to support this teaching of Rebbe Lozer. Amri Loi, the Gemara rejects this and says that there is nevertheless a distinction between the topic featured in our Mishnah and standard Kedushas Berek Habayis. Our Mishnah talks about Kedushas Domim Limizbeach. If you recall, we cited Rashi upon learning the Mishnah, that what would be the reason for someone to dedicate to sanctify an animal that is already blemished? So Rashi pointed out that the purpose of that would be that the person would then sell the animal and use the money for an altar-destined sacrifice. That is called Kedushas Domim L'Mizbeach. So the Gemara points out, Kedushas Domim L'Mizbeach, who the Michlefa B'Kedushas HaGuf L'Mizbeach. One could confuse this thing called Kedushas Domim L'Mizbeach with something that had initial altar sanctity. That's Kedushas HaGuf, where it had inherent altar sanctity. Now, something that has inherent altar sanctity, that certainly is forbidden to be used for Giza and Avoda. Therefore, since the Kedushas Domim L'Mizbeach is similar in the sense that its destiny, even though the animal itself, no, but the money received in exchange for it is Mizbeach-oriented, so one might confuse this with the case of something that's initially destined for the Mizbeach, and hence Gozru B'hu Rabbonon, they imposed a restriction on our animal, the animal of the Reisha, which is Kedushas Domim L'Mizbeach, so as to prevent this confusion that would have led to a leniency in working and shearing an animal that has real Kedushas Mizbeach, real altar sanctity. Aval, Kotshe Berek Habayis, no. But something whose sanctity is for the temple repair fund, that's a reference to things that one sanctified, and even when they are sold, the money is not used for purchasing sacrifices. Hence, it's not even close to the realm of Kedushas Mizbeach, and as a result of that, it would, in a regular case of Kedushas Berek Habayis, if you were relying only on our Mishnah, you wouldn't come to the conclusion that Rebbe Lozer ruled that even Kotshe Berek Habayis is forbidden in Gizan Avoda. From our Mishnah, you wouldn't go that far. Our Mishnah, once again, is related to things that are altar destined, and those things, so we impose the prohibition of Giza and Avoda, but things that have been sanctified for Kedushas Berek Habayis alone, the temple repair fund, that far from our Mishnah you wouldn't know to prohibit in Giza and Avoda. Vlodon v'chalovon mutar. The Mishnah made reference to the offspring and the milk of these animals were kidam mum kavua legdeshan. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances regarding these byproducts? Before going further, we have a topic heading, the nose in the outside margin, vlad shel behema shel kidam mum kavua legdeshan, regarding the vlad of an animal like that, ha'im poidin oisam bali mum olo. The Gemara will eventually discuss the issue of the redemption of that offspring. Does it need to have a blemish in it before one can redeem it? Or even without a blemish, maybe one will be able to redeem it. We should point out parenthetically, or the basis of this issue is that an animal that has true altar sanctity is not allowed to be redeemed unless it develops a blemish. But here we're talking about the offspring of something that never itself, the mother itself, never had Kedushas Mizbeach. So now we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Hechidomi, what are the circumstances of our Mishnah? If you think that we're talking about an animal that conceived and bore all after its redemption, well then, Pshita chulininu, it's obvious that the offspring and the milk are mutter. One can use them for his own purposes. So it's not, that is not what our Mishnah is needed to teach. Namely, it's not needed to teach a case where the conception and the birth took place all after this non-mizbeach animal had been redeemed. Ela, the aber lifnei pidyonon v'yisyalid l'achar pidyonon. The Mishnah must be referring to a case that has more of a chidush, of a novel value in it. Namely, it conceived before the redemption and bore the offspring or yielded the milk after it was already redeemed. So to that we say that that it's mutter. You can use it for your own purposes. But now we infer, ha lifnei pidyonon asiri. However, the milk and offspring of this mother animal would be forbidden if it was produced or emerged prior to the mother's redemption. Let's glance at the Rashi, at the bottom of the Rashi commentary. Hav lodo shenodu lefnei pidyonon, offspring born before the mothers were redeemed. Asurin b'hano below pidya, you're not allowed to use them. You're not allowed to benefit them from them without redemption. Umikrav lo karvi, however, these offspring are not offered on the mizbeach. The mikach kedusha dechuya asu, they come from a type of rejected sanctity. The imam lo huktashel mizbeach, their mothers from which these emerge, their mothers could not have been offered. Don't forget, we're talking about animals whose sanctity was preceded by a permanent blemish. So we are currently inferring, though, that vlados born from such animals before the mothers are redeemed, those vlados, those offspring, are forbidden. So, as we saw in Rashi, they're forbidden until you redeem them. The question is, niftin tamimim o ein niftin tamimim? When redeeming these vlados, are they redeemed even without a blemish, or must you wait for a blemish to develop before you'd be allowed to redeem the offspring? The Gemara answers by citing a Tanaic source. We've used a long answer marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to show that this is an answer. The Gemara that follows afterwards is going to launch into a new discussion. Hence, we want to show that this is the answer to the question regarding the Vlados and whether they're Niftim Tamimim or not. Toshma Hamathis Bale Mumin Kivuin Legavi Mizbeach. If someone dedicates something that it has a permanent blemish to the altar, the Yaldu, and they bore offspring, Imochru, the offspring are sold, the Ein Srichin Mum, they do not need a blemish to enable you to do the redemption. She'ein Kedusha Chola Alehem, sanctity doesn't really settle upon them. When we say sanctity, we're talking about that type of sanctity that would require a blemish before you could redeem it. That doesn't take place here. Shaloye Tofel Chomur Mina Ikra. We don't want the subsidiary, the Tofel, the Vlad, to be more Chomur, more strict or restrictive than the Ikra, than the mother. So, just like the mother was a Balmum, this is an animal coming forth from a Balmum. And as a result, you can be poda it straight out without waiting for a blemish. So that answers the question that was asked, and the answer being the vlados are redeemable even without their developing a womb. Now the Gemara points out from an inference from this source leads us into another topic. The reason that we don't require a mum in the aforementioned case is because of this concept or this logic that the result, namely the vlados, cannot be more restrictive than the original. And simply said, it comes mikoyach bal mum. They come forth from that which had a mum status already. Hence, we said that the vlados don't need their own mum. Avol, now this is a new case. Avol hikdish zohar lidomov. Let us say a person dedicated an animal that was unblemished, and he said, the zohar is an animal that's a male animal that can be brought as a korban ola, for example. The ola being the popular type of dedicated korban. If a person said regarding an unblemished animal, he said, I want to sanctify its money value. Now, this is an animal that's not a baal mum. It's unblemished. However, the dedicator does. He says, I'm dedicating its money value to the mizbeach. The Gemara says, Kadosh Kedushas Haguf. Automatically inherent Kedushas Haguf status takes over. Inherent sanctity takes over, which means that you shall offer the animal itself, not to wait and sell it and use the money. So that in contrast with the vlados of a baal mum yikara, where I don't offer them, I redeem them even without a mum. In this case, with the hikdish zohar ledomov, which is not coming mikoyach baal mum, it's unblemished. It develops kedushas haguf. Messiah le Rava. This approach supports Rava. The Omar Rava, Hikdish Zohar le Domim. Rava himself ruled that one who sanctifies a male animal sanctifies its monetary value, Kadosh Kedushas Aguf, it automatically becomes an inherently sanctified creature, which you will bring it, the animal itself, as a korban. V'hashochtan v'chutz poter. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The issue of the Gemara will focus around Rabbi Elozer's teaching. Minayin lezoveach, we are reading the topic heading in the outside margin. Minayin lezoveach ba'mum, from where do I know that one who sacrifices a blemished animal, b'bomas yochid, at a personal altar, b'shas heter bomos, at the time in Jewish history where private altars were allowed, shehu belosasa, he's considered in violation of a negative command of sacrificing a baal mum. So our Mishnah said one thing. Our Mishnah said that if one sacrifices these animals that were initially blemished, he sacrifices them outside the Beis HaMikdash, so he, in sacrificing a blemished animal, he is exempt from the offense known as Shchutei Chutz. Rebbe Elozer Masni Chayev. Instead of the word Potter in the Mishnah, Rebbe Elozer uses the word Chayev. In other words, he says that Hashochton Bachutz Chayev. So what in effect is he saying? He's saying that if one shechts a baal mum outside the Beis HaMikdash, he is guilty. Well, how could that be? The rule of Shechitas Chutz, let us point out, states that there is guilt of Shechitas Chutz concerning the slaughtering of something that could have been brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, something that was worthy to be brought as a sacrifice. But if it wasn't worthy to be brought as a sacrifice, for example, something that's blemished, there would be no guilt or no violation of Shchutei Chutz. How is it that Rebbe Elozer says Chayav? So the Gemara explains, Umuki law, and he sets up Rebbe Elozer sets up the Mishnah in which he says Shochta B'chutz is Chayav Bebomas Yochid. It's talking about the offering of a blemished animal at a personal altar at the time in history when Bomos were allowed. The Omar Rav Elazar. Here we have his halacha presented, and we're calling this a long point. The nun that you see encircled to the meter, right hand side of the Gemara, with the vertical dash line that follows, is a point, and the nun represents a nekuda, a point. The Omar Rav Elazar. Minayin lezoveach behema balas mum bebomas yochid b'shas heter habomos shehu belois aser. From where do I know that one who sacrifices a behema with a blemish on it at a personal altar, at a time in history when there was a heter bomos, shehu belosa, said that he is in violation of a negative command. Well, shenemar, the posuk says, lo sizbach lashem elokecho shor veseh. The posuk goes on to say, and we've included this posuk on the side of the Gemara. It says, "Asher yeboimum kol davara ki toev az Hashem Elokecha hu." So this posuk speaks about the prohibition of sacrificing to the Almighty blemished animals. Now, im eino inyan leboma gedayla, if this posuk is not referring to the central altar, which was located at this particular time in history, was located in the cities of Nov and subsequently in Givon. This is the period in time between the destruction of the Mishkan that was located at Shiloh. It stood there for 369 years, and the eventual building of the Beis HaMikdash, which took place a number of years later. So that during the interim period between the destruction of Shiloh and the rebuilding of, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash Bayis Rishon, there were a number of years that lapsed, and during that time there was a central altar located in Nov and subsequently Givon. That's the Boma Gedola. So if this pasuk of Lo Sizbach is not needed for the prohibition of Balmum at a Boma Gedola Dichtiv, there's another pasuk for that, Haveras O Shavur. In that pasuk we learn the basic prohibition of Balmum at the central Mizbeach. Therefore, Teneu Inyan Lebomas Yochid will take the pasuk of Lo Sizbach and apply it to the personal altar situation, and thereby learning a negative command or one who offers a Balmum at a Balmas Yochid will be in violation of this Loisas, a negative command. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a flurry of triangles whose positions change after every few lines. So this is noted under our Mivneh, a structural note that you find in the outside margin of our Gemara. You can see that we featured a triangle with the point facing up, and a little bit later, one with the point facing down. So under our Mivneh note, we note, of course, the triangle with the point facing up, and we have explained, and we read what we have there, Emo. Emo is the word that you see in quotation marks. That's the word that's featured in the triangle. Hatzos chilufios. These represent alternative suggestions. Lomar stating shamokor shemotzanu liel, the source that we found before lelamid al iser baal mum bebomas yochid, the source, the Lo Sizbach posuk that told us about the prohibition of a blemished animal at a personal altar. Rather, bo lelamid al iser baal mum hakosher leboma gedola in Nov and Givon. These are the suggestions that maybe it's coming to tell me about something else that's Baal Mum related with regard to the central altar, not the private altar. Then, as the Gemara unfolds, triangles appear facing tip facing down, and there we've written Dechios. These are rejections of these suggestions. And we add here, Royan, we will notice, De Le'oisan Hatzo'ois, regarding those suggestions, De Le'oisan Hatzo'os Chilufios, regarding those alternative suggestions, Yesh Mekuros Mi Shen Lohen. They have their own separate sources that tell us about the suggested prohibitions. Umemela ha-posuk de Lo Sizbach, thereby enabling the posuk of Lo Sizbach to be panui, to be available, the inyan iser baal mum b'bomas yochid, to inform us what that which we initially said it does. And you'll notice, by the way, that we've dashed, underlined the expression Teneu Inyan Lebomas Yochid. This is the conclusion that Rav Elazar reached, and as we go on to the Gemara, it's at that point that we will be questioning. The Gemara now asks, Amor, why not say as follows, Im eino inyan likotshim, if the lo sizbach posuk is not to teach me about standard sacrifices at the central altar, teneu inyan libachor, have it refer to the case of a firstborn with a blemish at the central mizbeach. Sakodai techamina, without the lo sizbach posuk, if I were to choose to use it for bechor, I would have thought, hoyel v'kodosh k'shu ba'amum, since it has bechor sanctity with its blemish, likrav nami k'shu ba'amum, maybe it is to be offered as a bechor sacrifice even with the blemish, komash molon, the lo sizbach would then come to tell me delo, that one should not offer it with its blemish. So this would be an alternative role for lo sizbach to fulfill, telling me a halacha concerning bechor at the boma gedola. The Gemara says, no, I don't need the lo sizbach posuk for this point. Amri, answer. Bechor behedyo ksivbe. Bechor has its own explicit posuk. Piseach oiver lo sizbachenu. Regarding the bechor, we have this posuk that says you shall not offer it if it's a piseach, lame, or iver, or blind. In other words, a blemished bechor is not to be brought as a sacrifice. So since bechor has its own posuk, lo sizbach is available for that which Rebbe Lozer said, namely the iser of balmum by the personal altar. However, new suggestion, Amor, let us say, im eino inyan lekotchim, if the lo sizbach posuk, as was said above, is not needed for standard sacrifices at the boma gedola, teneu inyan lemeiser. Meiser is the meiser behema, the tithe of animals. One-tenth of an annual birth is brought as a korban. And the posuk would be telling me that a meiser behema, balmum, do not bring as a sacrifice. Now, without that posuk, without the lo sizbach, according to this havamina, the sakadet hachamina, I would have thought, hayo v'kadosh b'mumo, since the animal that's counted as number 10, in order to determine which is the meiser behema, so that particular year's births are counted one after the other, they're enumerated 1, 2, 3, and 5, 4, 5, 6, and when you get to number 10, that's dedicated as the meiser behema. Now, regarding that, it says it can become a meiser behema with its blemish. Dichtiv lo yavakir bein toiv lo ra u bein ra. In that pasuk, we learn, without getting into the details of the pasuk itself, but from that we learn that meiser behema becomes dedicated as meiser behema even with a mum. So I would have thought, since it gains meiser status with a blemish, nikrav nami b'mumei, it shall be offered at the central mizbeach with its mum, komash malon the lo. So the posuk of lo sizbach would be telling me that is not the case. So that's our suggestion. The Gemara rejects this and says, Amri, Meiser nami gomar havora havora mi bechor. As far as the meiser behema with its mum as being forbidden to be offered as a sacrifice, that is learned from another source. That's learned from a word comparison between the topics of meiser behema and bechor. And just like by bechor, we have a source, a separate source, so too, Meiser Behema will be learned from that, leaving open Lo Sizbach for Rebbe Elazar's teaching. Question. Amor Teneu Inyan L'Tmuras Kochim. Well, why not say that the Lo Sizbach, if it's not used for Kochim at Abom Gedola, it is to be used for the Din of Tmuras Kochim, that do not bring a Tmura animal to the Boma Gedola. What do we know about Tmuras Kachim? The Sakodai Techamina, without the Lo Sizbach, I would have thought, Hoyol Ukudusha Kishi Balas Mum, since sanctity can set upon a Tmura. When I replicate the Kedusha from a Kochim animal onto a Chulin animal, if that Chulin animal happens to have a Mum, it becomes Kadosh B'Kedusha's Tmura. It gets this Tmura sanctity. Dichtiv, lo yachlifenu velo yomir oisoi toiv bera ora betoiv. That is the basis of a balmum absorbing tamura status. So kreva nami kishi balasmum. I would have thought that it can also be offered with its blemish. Komash molon de lo. So lo sishchat would come to tell me that you do not bring it with its mum. And if I were to use the lo sishchat for that, I wouldn't have a source for Rebbe Lozer teaching about the prohibition of a blemished animal at a private altar. The Gemara answers, Amri, Omar, Kra. There is another pasuk for the issue of Tamura. The pasuk says, V'hoya hu u Tamura so. The hu is the korban itself and the Tamura. Makish, Tamura soy loy. The Torah compares Tamura to the basic original sacrifice, ma hu bal mum lo. Just like an original sacrifice, when it develops a mum, one does not bring it. Af Tamura so bal mum loy. So to a Tamura with its mum, you do not bring it as a sacrifice. So at this point then, the posik of lo sizbach would still be available for a Belozer's teaching, namely the prohibition of a bal mum at a bomas yochid b'shas heter ha-bomas. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera offers an alternative. Emo teneu inyan levlodois kochim. Maybe lo sizbach is for the halacha concerning the offspring of sacrifices. Desaka de techamina hoyl ukedoshin kishain bale mumin agavimon. We know that if an animal was dedicated as a sacrifice, and it then developed a mum, it then developed a blemish, the vlad, the offspring, also has sanctity. That's called its kadosh. Even if they are blemished, they're kadosh together with their mother. So, therefore, kishen bale mumin nami karvi. I would have thought that since they gained kedusha, with their mum, because they were part of a mother that was sanctified. So since their mother had been sanctified, even though the vlad itself has a mum, the vlad, the offspring has sanctity. So maybe it should be offered as that, as such. Therefore, komash molon delo. The lo sizbach maybe is coming to tell me that you don't offer these vlados kochim that have a mum. Omar Rova. Rova tells us that as far as the topic of vlados kochim, that has its own source. Kfar posko tana debe Rabbi Shmuel. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they have taught and resolved this from another pasuk. The Tanna Rabbi Shmuel, we have the following Tanaic source that's taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Rak Kodeshecha Asher Yulach Unidorecha. And this pasuk is now broken down. Rak Kodeshecha Elu HaTmuros. That's a reference to Tmura. Asher Yulach Elu HaVlodois Unidorecha. Those are voluntary sacrifices that people dedicate. Hekishon HaKosuv LeNeder. In this pasuk, you see that the vlados are compared to the neder. Neder being standard voluntary sacrifices. Ma neder ba mum lo, just like a standard sacrifice with a blemish you do not bring. Af hani nami ba mum lo. So too, the vlados with their mum you do not bring. So, after all is said and done, you see that the Pasuk of Lo Sizbach is available for Rebbe Lozer's teaching. V'ein oisin tmura. My taima, what is the basis of saying that an animal that was originally a baal mum and then sanctified, that it doesn't create tmura? From where do we know that? The omakra, there is a pasuk. It says, Lo yachlifenu velo yomir oisoi toiv bera oira betoiv. Now, looking at the posuk superficially, we are confronted with a problem. Hashto ra betoiv amris lo. In this posuk, we're told, don't make a tmura, a replication of sanctity. Ra, it says at the end of the posuk, Ra betoiv. Now, ra betoiv would mean don't take a behemas kodesh that's a baal mum, and attempt to, we'll say, upgrade it to a chulin. In other words, we'll say, replicate its kedusha onto a chulin that happens to be mum free. And we're saying, you can't do that. So, toiv bara mibaya, to take a behema that's kodesh, a sanctified animal that's blemish-free, and attempt to replicate that kedusha onto something that's a baal mum, that's certainly not going to be allowed. That would be a type of downgrading, if you will. So what are we to do with this pasuk? So we understand from the extra expression in the pasuk that there's an additional drosha. Ella, toiv meikoro oisetmura. An animal that at the point it was sanctified was mum-free, that is capable of activating or replicating or creating tmura. Ra me'ikoro, something like our Mishnah in the Reisha was describing, something that was first with blemish and only then sanctified, ein oisetmura, doesn't generate this replication of sanctity. And that's exactly what we were looking for. We had asked that, from where do I know ein oisetmura? The answer is from this pasuk. Im mesu yifdu. Concerning these animals that their mum preceded their sanctity, we said that, well, if they die, you can still redeem them. Before going on, let us glance at the outside margin. You see we have a topic heading, a nose, im mesu baal mum shekida mumo lehegdeshoy yifdeh. If this blemished animal whose blemish preceded its sanctification, if that animal died, so we say yifdeh, it can in effect be redeemed. It can still be redeemed. Tana de Mishnah Seinu, the Tana who authors our Mishnah, Hainu Rabbi Shimon. This is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, or it is Rabbi Shimon. The Sover Kotshe Berek Habayis Lo Hoyu Bichlal Hamodav Arocha, who is of the opinion that animals that were sanctified to the temple repair fund, or alternatively, animals that were not did not have kedushas mizbeach, they were not included in the obligation of being alive for their redemption. Hamoda means the ability of the animal to stand up, arocha, and to be evaluated for redemption purposes. So, from the fact that our Mishnah says that even after it dies, it can be redeemed, so we see that our Mishnah is of that opinion, it's of Rabbi Shimon's opinion. This is what Rav points out. In Mesu Yifdu, Omar of Yudoma, Rav. Back into the Gemara, you see we've circled Rav's name. Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. If one is going to be looking, by the way, for Rashi that comments on this, Rashi is found at the top of Omid Beis, at the top of the next Omid. And that would be top of Tes Vav Omid Aleph. So Rav points out that our mission is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon di Omar, Kodshe Mizbeach Hoyu Bechlal Hamad Avarocha, only those types of animals that had inherent sanctity destined to be offered themselves as sacrifices, they were under this restriction of Hamod Avarocha, namely to be alive when being redeemed. However, Kodshe Berek Abayis, Lo Hoyu Bechlal Hamod Avarocha, things that had this lower form of Kedusha, if you will, or different form of Kedusha of sanctity for temple repair fund purposes, they were not included in the Hamoda Varocha requirement. Therefore, they can be redeemed even after they died. Disnan. And then we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Shimon is featured, and another opinion also appears. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kotche Berek Habayis Imesu Yifdu, things that had Berek Habayis sanctity, if they die, they can be redeemed. Umoide Rabbi Shimon Bavali Bavamu Meikoro Shnifte. That Rabbi Shimon will concede that an animal like that which is featured in our Mishnah, at the beginning of our Mishnah, the Baal Mum Meikoro, it too can be redeemed even if it died. And then there was a small bracketed section that is the Gemara that interrupts, but right after that, Avo Chachomim Omrim Im Mesu Yikbaru. The Chachomim disagree and say that if they die, they must be buried. In other words, they cannot be redeemed. They need Hamor Varocha. The bracketed section deals with the comment of Rabbi Shimon, my taimo, what's the basis for Rabbi Shimon's teaching? Diomar Kro, Oisa. Now, this is a posuk in Vayikra, Chof Zayin, posuk Yud Beis, where there is the Oisa is a limitation expression. We have included the psukim on the side of the Gemara, where you can see in posuk Yud Beis, Ve'ericha koin Oisa, Bein Toiv u'Bein Ra, Kerkecha koin Ken Yeh. So this is a limitation because in the pasuk before there was a reference to a behema tamea, something that you don't offer as a korban, and it said vehemides a behema lefnei hakohen, that there's a need to stand it up and to be evaluated, and this limitation expression is understood as follows: my taimo di omar kro. Osa, and Osa lim ute balmu meikoro. The limitation expression is there to exclude the case of a balmu meikoro, some animal that had initially been blemished before its sanctity. That does not need to go through Hamodo Varocha. The source continues with Avochachomim Oimrim im Mesu Yikbaru. The Gemara asks, Man Chachomim, who is this particular Chachomim? Who is this? Tono Debei Levi Hu. This is the school of thought known as the Tono Debei Levi. The Tono Debei Levi, the following Tanaic teaching coming from the Yeshiva of Levi. It says, Hakol Hoyu Bechlau Hamodo Varocha. All animals were included in the need for being alive at redemption time. Vafilu Bamu Meikoro. Even some animal that had a mum before its sanctity. V'chein tona debei Levi b'mas nisei, and the Gemara points out, that's why little brackets around this, the Gemara is saying that Levi includes in his Tanaic sources the following, afilu chaya, afilu oif. Even these animals, a chaya is an undomesticated animal that can never be brought as a sacrifice. However, if one dedicated it, sanctified a chaya, and a bird, an oif, they too cannot be redeemed after they died. Well, you'll ask, v'hoksiv oisa, what about osa, which seemed to limit? And according to the Tana Bei Levi, all sanctified animals must be alive for their redemption. So the Gemara responds, oisa the Tana Bei Levi kasha. The word oisa presents a difficulty for the Tana Bei Levi. The Gemara at this point will then focus now on the Rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi Shimon in Maseches Temura. This is not to be confused with the Rabbonon, the Chachomim that we saw just a couple lines up, four lines above this, who were in the source with Rabbi Shimon. That's we identified as the Tanami Levi. But as far as Rabbi Shimon, who appears in Maseches Temura, there is a Rabbonon, another Shita, that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and they hold that Koche Berek Habayis, if they die, must be buried. They cannot be redeemed. Rabbi Shimon holding that Koche Berek Habayis, if they die, they can be redeemed. So there's a separate Machlokas Tanoim that the Gemara will make reference to. And Amir Sashem, in our next shiur, we will deal with that. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.